Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me share a story with you this morning. And I was just sharing with, Minister Scott this morning. You know, it's how the Lord is changing. Sometimes he changes the way you operate, or the way he operates through you. And things that I used to do, and I said, well, some of those things were good. And so this morning, I'm going to share a story with you. And it's about, well, you know, these glasses. It was a country preacher. He decided to skip church service one Sunday morning, and he headed into the hills to do some bear hunting. And as he rounded the corner, it was a sharp curve in the trail. He and the bear collided, sending him and his rifle tumbling down the mountainside. Before he knew it, his rifle went one way and he went the other, landing on a rock and breaking both legs. That was the good news. The bad news was that this ferocious bear charging at him at a distance, and he couldn't move. Oh Lord, the preacher prayed, I am sorry for skipping Sunday services today to come out here to hunt. Please forgive me, but God grant me one wish. Please forgive me for skipping Sunday. And he says, please make a Christian out of that bear that's coming at me. Please, Lord. At the very same instant, the bear skidded to a halt, fell at his knees, and put his paws together and prayed out loud at the preacher's feet. He says, dear Lord, bless this food that I'm about to receive. Amen. God is good. Laughter is good medicine. Today I'm going to talk about reprogramming your mind. You know, I've talked about the tongue and the power it has. I've talked about the miracles that come from the tongue, and I'm going to continue to stay around the head area, talking about reprogramming your mind. Now, if you can think about the mind being like a computer, how we program it the way it's going to function, how we can buy the most expensive computer that money can buy, and it can hold the most memory, but if you put the wrong software in it, it is not going to function like it was designed to function. Anyone who has ever had a computer had always had to deal with these what we call computer viruses. They can get into a perfectly good computer and start to contaminate the software. And before long, the computer is running slow and you can't get to all your files that you thought you had. Things were just disappearing off your computer, and other problems occur because it's not that the computer was defective or poorly made, the hardware is fine. It is because somebody reprogrammed the software somehow, the inside got messed up, and now the software is contaminated. In the same way, God created us, he stepped back and says, that was very good. He said, I created another masterpiece, talking about you and I. The hardware that God placed in us is perfect. Everything God does for us is perfect. Just think about it. God made you. He made me one of a kind. There's nobody else like you. You're the right size, the nationality that God wanted you to be. He placed in you the gifts he wanted you to have. And in addition to that, God placed the right software in you. In other words, he's given you everything that he needed to give you to you perform the way that he wanted you to perform. From the very beginning, he programmed you to be the best that you can be. He programmed you to be victorious. He programmed you to be healthy, to be strong. He even programmed you to be creative, that gift that he's given you. Your original software says that you can do all things through Christ Jesus. He programmed you so that whatever you touch, you will prosper. When he programmed you, you were to be the head and not the tail. You will be the lender and not the borrower. You will be a victor and not the victim. We were all programmed to live in an abundant, victorious, faith-filled life. That is who we were designed to be. But for some reason, something went wrong. We don't always experience this abundant life that he has already programmed in us. We have, there's one reason, that's because we have allowed viruses to come in and to contaminate our software. We have allowed outside influences to come in and tell us that we're not going to be successful. We're not going to amount to anything. We are not this. We are not that. I am not that. He said, I'm not worth anything. All kinds of things where people will come in and try to deter the plan that God has for you. And I thank you in testimony. Ms. Clara said her brother had an addiction. He'll come in and says, you can't break this addiction or these bad habits. I have tried it for a long time, and it's always, he said, it's become a part of you now. That's who you are now. I had it a long time, and that's who I am. I'm clumsy. Nothing good is in my future. All this is because our software has been infected. We go around with low self-esteem, seeing that our negative side of things. We look at a glass, it's supposed to be half full. We look at it half empty, and we look at the dark side of things. Dreams are not going to come to pass, and that's because we just don't see it. They didn't come in and say, you're not going to accomplish that. And with Antoine's testimony this morning, he said in 1908, here it is, 8 years later, the very property that he walked around, he is now living on that piece of property. See, that's when you let negative stuff come into you, like, I'm not going to do that. You know that's too much. That's out of your league. And we dwell on it. It gets so embedded in us that we won't let it go, and you will never accomplish anything negative that God has you to. He said, it's yours. Go. He said, look, the land flowing with milk and honey, go over there and get it. No, we can't go. Why can't you go? We are like ants to them. He will even tell you that it says, you'll never see a brighter day. But the good news is that there is nothing wrong with you. Like that computer, you are not a mistake. The problem that you are allowing to come to disrupt your software or your way of thinking, you have had to get rid of those viruses. We had a computer, the first thing we did, we get something to get rid of the viruses. Although the day dwell on what God says about you, all day long dwell on that. What did God say about you? Well, we said, I'm blessed. No. I'm better than blessed. I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm valuable, and I'm victorious. And I'm strong because Christ gives me the strength to be strong. You have got to get back to original software. Get back to your original way of thinking, the way God has planned you. He programmed you to think. If your thinking is limited, you will have a limited life. One of the best things we can learn to do is to hit the delete button. We all have computers. Every time something pop up on the screen that we don't want, hit the delete button. You know, negative discouragement thoughts come in, hit the delete button. Meaning that I am not receiving that mess. I am not dwelling on that. God says that the path of the righteous is brighter and brighter. When doctors say that you're not going to get any better based on your medical record, he has a report right there in front of him, but whose report are you going to believe? God says, by his stripes I'm healed. The number of my days he will fulfill. I'm not going before, and you're not going before God is ready for you to go. You know, it's something that if we have heard the story of our brother, and he said that he has stopped breathing, a lot of us would have our mind, that's it. But you're not going nowhere until God says. I don't care how bad it looks, God has you, our days are numbered. You know, I remember coming up as in earlier years, and my father had passed away when I was young. And I can remember that some of the people in the community were saying, hey, they're going to go wild now. They're going to run all through the neighborhood. And they know some of our family members, so they're gonna be drunks, they're gonna be maybe drug addicts, they're not gonna prosper, and then they're gonna be in and out of jail, if not in jail permanently. But you know, Our mother was working hard. She was working two jobs and sometimes three, trying to keep a roof over our heads and food on the table, clothes on our back. You know, and I was determined. See, I was there keeping my three younger brothers the whole time. I was determined to first be obedient and respectful to my mother. And while she was always working, I was in charge of my younger brothers. And we were to keep the house clean and the yard neat. And we didn't run wild out through the neighborhood like they said we were going to do, getting in all sorts of trouble. We stayed in school. We got an education. I was determined not to turn out like those people, like some family members probably have thought, to turn out the way they said we were going to turn out. I was not going to do that. And you know, when my mind, even though I didn't realize it, but it was programmed in my mind, and I hit the delete button, everything that was coming in negative about how we were supposed to turn out, I hit the delete button. I didn't believe that mess. I don't know why I was too young and foolish, and I didn't know what I was thinking. And we go through stuff, and we come in, all of a sudden my mother would drive up in the yard, next thing I know, she'd be walking or catching somebody else because we lost the car. We were losing stuff. We had to move because we were losing stuff. But it's still, I guess I was just stupid enough to say, there's a brighter day. Things going to get better. All I was thinking about, I had to go out and work to help my mother regain some of the stuff that was lost. And you know, the good thing about that, here it is 60 plus years later. None of us are drug addicts, talking about me and my brothers. Nobody's an alcoholic. Nobody's been in jail except to visit somebody in jail. Mom is now 86. Health is not perfect, but she is going through. Her faith has not wavered. All my brothers love and respect her, and so much for we take care of our mother. And she can call, if she even coughed the wrong way, within the hour, all four of the boys and their spouses would be there by her side. And you know, I was sharing some time ago with Pastor Scott, and with what we were sharing was some of the things that we experienced, some of the same things, like the living in a trailer catching, burning completely down, and just sharing some things like that. And I remember just as well, and I'm not giving you a testimony, but I remember it, not saying this is very easy. It was a hard life for young people to go through. And not saying that nothing was easy about it, but sometimes you talked about, you know, working, keeping food on the table and doing certain things. Or you wake up the next morning, there was no food at all to eat, but you would set the table and you had your mind that somebody's from food gonna be here. And just like that, you refuse to let stuff come into your mind that's negative. Food, and guess what? Lord blessed, and food was there. And, you know, doing that, and I look at her life now, and God is really blessed. She have children that she can sneeze in minutes because they live so close. In minutes, they'll be by her side. Say, Mother, what's going on? What can we do for you? That's love. That's a family. That's not, and all that happened because we did not accept all this negative stuff that comes into your mind. Every time you do a little something happens, the first thing that's going to come, you remember Jesus? Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And what did the devil do? He come to send a virus to Jesus' mind. But he deleted it right away. He said, because he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and we go for 40 minutes and 40, and we are hungry. He said, you fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil knew he was hungry. But he says, look, take these stones and make yourself some bread. Jesus said, delete that mess. Man shall not live by bread alone. Then he came in with some other stuff that's going on. Here, all this can be yours. He said, all this that I see, now, it belongs to my Father. So if he attacks Jesus' mind like that, just think what he'd do to you and me. But that's the way he works. That's the way he operates. We just cannot let people fill your mind with negative stuff, negative energy, and you have to delete it right away. Don't even dwell on it. Don't even think about it. Just delete it. You know it's not true because that's not what God had programmed in you. He said you were going to be successful. He said you're going to get a raise on your job. Don't let nobody say you're not smart enough to get that. You're not able to get that. Delete that mess. You know what the Lord told you. You know, I listen to a lot of people, and a lot of times people just... They're just negative thinkers. You know, when people come and try to influence you and you're saying that you're not going to mount anything, you're not that talented, that you will never accomplish that dream that you claim you're dreaming about, when that negative stuff comes in, just hit delete. Reprogram your mind saying, I am perfectly and wonderfully made. I have the favor of God. Whatever I touch, it will prosper. Whatever addictions I had, they're gone. I don't have that addiction anymore. Why? Because no weapon formed against me will ever prosper. Why? Because greater one that lives inside of me than he who lives in the world. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. And today, if you will only hit the delete button, when you hear such foolishness, you'll become free today. The scripture tells us that to guard our minds, we have the ability to keep what is not of God from entering in. We have the ability to dwell not on the negative thoughts. God has given us. That's built in. That's part of our original program that God had programmed us. He breathed that breath of life, came in his image. In other words, we stay in his word, we grow things, whatever things happen, he had his son to be born as a natural man so that he can go through all this stuff that we can never go through. And that's why we know we are victorious over that, because his son made the man just like we are. He came, he was born, he died, he was raised again from the dead. He says all these things are possible. Ephesians, I better give you a scripture or so. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. It says, I'm reading from the New American Standard. But you did not learn Christ in this way. 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. 23. And that you are renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now that word renew, or I call it reprogram, means to rejuvenate. It means to get some new life, new zest in your mind. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If you want to reach your highest potential, you must be good at hitting the delete button. And this attack on the mind, it goes on as long as you're going to live. Every day something's going to happen negative, and something's going to come and you're going to hear something negative. What are you going to do? And to prove that attack goes on later, it goes on. It was another instance that I think you probably know me. Maybe you may not know. This was maybe a couple of years ago. And how many of you have ever gone in a room? You're in one room, and you go into another room. It may be the very next room, and you walk in there, and you forgot what you went in there for. You ever been there? Isn't that something? But that's not bad. Mine happened to go a step further. You know, I took mine outside the house. I would go to the store, and from the get in the car and on the way to the store, I would go by the store, but forget that I was going to the store. And I thought, and I said, well, I supposed to be going to the store. So I would turn around. I wasn't lost. I knew where I was. So I turned around, came back, and went in the store, and walked around the store for 20 minutes before I remember what I was supposed to get. Then, as often as I would drive home to my mother's house in Williamsburg, I could ride, if it wasn't for traffic, I could drive down that blindfold because I go so many times. And she lived in Williamsburg. And this particular day, I had to go and was doing some work for my mother. When I end up, I was in Yorktown. I said, what in the world is my exit? And I had passed the Williamsburg's exit and went out to Yorktown. I took the Yorktown exit. I wasn't lost. Once I figured out I passed my exit, I wasn't lost. I turned around, came back, and went to a house. I knew what a house was. But I'm saying that to say this, your mind is so delicate and things can get so, if you put a lot of stuff on your computer, it slows it down too. It won't operate, it won't function properly. And you came, if God tell you to do something, you want to put something in there, it's just not gonna come out, it's too slow. And so what happened was, I said, well, this is a problem. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go to make me an appointment with my primary carrier in VA hospital. So I did that, and I went to, and he sent me to a psychiatrist. And you know, when you go to a psychiatrist, first thing is, boy, you crazy a bit, bud. But I went to a psychiatrist, and they give you a battery of tests. And I was telling him and explaining to him, he said, well, did you drive here by yourself? I said, yeah. You sure? I said, yeah. He said, well, whatever we say or do here, I'm going to have to turn it into the DMV. I said, what? For what? For me, just forgetting something? I'm not lost. I know where I am. He says, but we have to turn it in to the DMV. And so he said, well, and made another appointment. I went there that day, so he had a battery of tests. He had me to read me a story, and had to read the story and different stories, and he asked me questions about different things. And then he had to be put little funny things together and look at a picture and if it's in this picture, all that stuff. Then he got to the computer. He says, now, on this computer, once I turn it on, I can't tell you anything else. I can't open my mouth. I said, whoa, what's this all about? So he set me down, turned the computer on, and the computer had four different colors of different things. It had red, green, blue, and yellow. But it was programmed that it would go in a certain sequence, and then it would stop. It would change, but you don't know it changed. You just have to figure out what it's doing, and you keep on. And so I got on the computer and said, this is fun, man. And I saw flowers and had numbers and all kinds of stuff. I would have myself a ball. But then it changed. I said, man, if he's going to 1, 2, 3, 4, now it changes. Now I said, and I was talking to myself. I said, okay, now what you changing? What you want me to do now? And I would sit there and look at it. Then I tried different things and said, okay, went on and did that. Then the time I did that part, it changed again. It went on for about 10, 15 minutes. And after the computer test was over, he says, I'm not supposed to give you the results, Mr. Martin, but what you just did just now, he says, this is where I lose most of my computers. People would get out and actually slam the computer on the floor. He said, I lost a lot of computers here at this point. So I went home and I had another meeting with him. And I came back and I said, Lord, okay, now what's happening? And he showed me, just as clear as anything, he showed me an outlet. So I plugged, it had one wire plugged in. And then I had an adapter, bunch of adapters, and everything was plugged into the adapter, and which caused a circuit, a blow a fuse, or throw a circuit breaker. So I went back there and said, oh, that's what's going on. So I went back, had an appointment, his last appointment with him, and he said that, and I told him, I said, you know, I figured out what was wrong. And he said, what was that? You know, I said, I know you're the psychiatrist, and you know, but this is, I said, I've been overloaded with so much stuff that it was beginning to shut my brain down. Would nothing register much anymore. He said, but once, and I think at that same time, Linda brought me a calendar that I could write in. So, you know, you keep all your payments, all your dates, and all the things you have to do. That helped a whole lot. That cleared that up. Then some other things that happened, it cleared up. Then I says, well, that's not important. I'm going to put that on the back burner. It'll come up later. And I shared it with him, he says, you know, I never looked, it was a young guy. He said, I never looked at it that way. But he says, but I don't see anything wrong with you. I said, I told you I'm going crazy. I said, where's your couch? I'll lay you on the couch and teach you some things. But when your mind get overworked and so much stuff on it, and as we get older, we automatically get more stuff. You say, well, I don't remember so much like I did when I was coming up. But when we are children, there's nothing else on your mind. Your head just as smooth. That's why you can learn stuff. Every time you learn stuff, just a little wrinkle get in. Our heads are so wrinkled by the time we get grown, got too many wrinkles, and we try to hold all that stuff in, we just can't do it. And so, you know, when all this stuff come in, that's another way of attacking your mind, and that's why we have to reprogram. You hit the delete button. This stuff, if I can't write it down on the calendar date, don't worry about it. If I forget it, it'll come up again. And you start prioritizing things, and you'll work out a lot better. See, I told him I wasn't crazy in the first place, but I couldn't convince him until that computer test, and that did it. So in Philippians chapter 2, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4, it says, verse 6, it says, be not anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensions, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the scripture says he hungered, and I told you that Satan come in and try to disrupt his thinking, what he his purpose for coming out, and he knew what he had to do. And you know, and he said, in other words, I'm not receiving that mess. And in the same way, if he had the power to not to receive stuff that's negative, don't you know we had that same power? Don't let this world's negative thoughts cause you to miss out on God's blessing. When someone tells you that you can, tell you that you can't, and you know in your heart that you can, don't dwell on it. Hit the delete button. Because you know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Never let negative thoughts anybody, you know, I was just thinking about some of you and the type of work that y'all are doing. Now you think about it. Suppose someone told you that you couldn't do it. A promotion come up. They told me that I couldn't get the, they don't know much. And I worked at Philip Morris. And things come up, oh man, you're not going to get that. Why? Because, you know, you're just not going to get it. You ain't been here long enough. And so when the fixer list come up, I said, well, what being here in a length of time has to do with that? The only thing that does is give somebody seniority on me, but everybody don't want to be a fixer. Everybody can't do this. But I believe I can. And I signed the board, and about a couple of weeks later, the results came up, and I got the job. And so, you know, don't let anyone stop you from doing what you know you can do. Heavenly Father, once again, we're just giving your name glory, honor, and praise, and thanking you, Father, for